All right.
Okay. Hello. Oh,
glad that happened now.
Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of Behind the Signs.
Hello, I'm Liz.
And I'm Joe. And Liz is my daughter. I'm her dad. And we are sign family, sign shop family. Anyway, yes. Love the sign business. Love Behind the Signs. Love you guys. Believe in you.
Some of those things are true.
There's a lot of them are true.
Some of them.
I mean, what is there not to absolutely love about the sign business? I mean, other than the pressure and the unrealistic timelines and the really low margins and the long working hours.
Construction.
And the construction part of it. And all the toxic fumes.
So okay. Good.
Besides those few things, the sign industry is awesome. Actually, we'd absolutely love the sign business. So, but in today, first of all, before we get started, thank you so much for making me some delicious coffee.
Don't drink it on the microphone. No one wants to hear that. Literally no one wants to hear that.
That's so good though.
Did you burn your mouth?
I did.
That's karma.
Yeah.
Before we get started, we're going to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Inktavo. Inktavo is the parent company for Sign Tracker and many other products. If you want to check them out, please go to inktavo.com. There are so many things for your business there. We're big fans of Sign Tracker.
Also, I just want to, as an added thing right now, Liz, Inktavo, by the way, has started. We have acquired a new software company in the UK called Clarity. And I'm just, the reason why I'm talking about them, because I know they're sort of similar to Sign Tracker, is that they're UK based. So if we have UK people in the audience here, check out clarity.com or claritygo.com actually. And just a cool group of folks, and their product's pretty awesome too. So anyway, that is our commercial for Inktavo. Thank you.
And also thanks to you guys. Thanks for watching us. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yep. Yep. So today's episode, it's probably going to be a little shorter than normal. So hang in there with us because I think it's an important topic. As you know, we are doing a series about, so you want to start a sign shop and it's going to pretty much last the whole year. We're going to be hitting topics from just getting started, setting up an entity, choosing your brand, marketing, scaling, all the way to possibly getting to a point where, what does it look like to exit your sign company, selling your sign company. So,
yeah. If you haven't had a chance, go back, to January's episodes, watch those. We'd had a great conversation with Mike Stevens. And then Joe and I kind of talked about our experience in the initial steps in starting a sign business.
Yeah, that was a cool conversation with Mike. And I think hopefully the podcast that we recorded too has some pretty helpful things in there. So anyway, everything we say here is to absolutely encourage you. Because we've been at this for a bit, we've made a S-ton of mistakes.
I think you can say shit. Everyone's an adult.
Okay. A poop ton.
Or just
I try to keep it PG, actually.
I think shit's actually still PG. You just can't say fuck.
Oh. You grounded.
It didn't work when I was a kid. Why would it work now?
Anyway.
All right.
So today we're going to talk about choosing a name. And we actually do have a guest later on in the month that has a really strong branding background. So we're super excited about talking with him. So that episode's going to be coming up in a couple weeks. So please catch it. It's kind of a continuation about branding. But, I think a lot of, because I know for me, I think about, the few businesses in my life that I've started, I know this kind of sounds a little backwards, but yes, I would have a concept and an idea, but before I did anything else, I loved working on like the logo, the colors, the branding, and what that meant. What that meant to me, it was kind of represented my why, it was kind of what I wanted the company to, what the company's mission was going to be. So the brand is a lot more than just a logo. It's really kind of the heartbeat of what your company is. So we want to talk a little bit about just that today. And so why don't we start off with, want me to start off with Sign Tech International?
I'll start off with Studio Zo, and only because I'm not gonna say a whole lot about it today. You guys have heard a bit of, you know, what we are and what we do, but our guest next week, there's a little bit of nepotism going on. That's but true. Also, he's just an expert in his field, is my business partner and my husband, Russell Toynes. He's going to go a lot more in depth about, you know, the why behind your name and also the importance of it in branding. But I will kind of give a brief overview. I feel like everyone's heard it by now, but if you haven't, Studio Zo is kind of a hybrid company. We are a design studio that's focused on signage, but we also do branding. So we start from the beginning and build people all the way up to their physical space. So how do you communicate that? And I can't take any credit for the thought process behind this. I can only take credit for my background, which was signage, and of course, accounting. But then Russell's background, my business partner, is graphic design. We kind of came together to develop this company. And like to Russell, his thought behind our name, Studio Zo, well, it's a studio, obviously. We're a design studio.
But think about just the word studio, right? So like what are you trying to communicate to the community? It's a mm-hmm. lot different than just blank ABC sign shop, right?
Well, so, studio is it's a very important word in the design world, mm-hmm. right? It says a lot for what you have as a designer. Most design companies are so-and-so studio or, you know, for us, studio, so-and-so. And I think it just, it's very different than sign industry. You don't get a lot of that in the sign industry. But for us, it communicated to the people we wanted to communicate to, which mm-hmm. were architects, interior designers, and designers. Though we also obviously work with sign companies. We do a lot of white label, but even to them, it communicates that we're a design studio.
Right.
Now, Zo, the word itself, a Zo is a thing. We didn't make it up. A Zo is a hybrid between a yak and a cow. They are bred in the Himalayas, and they are bred because they are stronger than yaks, so they can carry more things up the mountains. And then they also produce more milk than a cow, so they're greater than the sum of their parts. You know, for us, we are a design studio. Our background is design and signage. Mine is signage. A lot of our team members, they have a background in either construction or signage, but all of them are trained graphic designers. I'm the only person without a graphic design degree in our company.
Wow.
Including all of our project managers, everyone. They all have graphic design degrees from their colleges. Now, when you look at sign companies and design studios, you know, the sign industry, we've always looked at it as like the bastard child of the construction industry and the architecture industry, right? They're just we're the redheaded stepchild. No one really wants us, which is great. But for us, we wanted to show that we not only have that background in science and signage, and we know how to speak fabrication, and I understand, and so do a lot of our team members, really understand fabrication from working in fabrication. And then they're all trained in graphic design, and that's a completely other language and completely other specialty.
Right.
So we brought those two things together to be greater than the sum of our parts. So that is us.
So Studio do you feel Zo. Like in the name, in the brand, Studio Zo, do you find, because your focus, your customer focus is architects, primarily architects, right? I mean, I know you work with other folks too, but do you feel like the branding behind Studio Zo, whether it could just be Zo Signs, do you think that audience is more apt to open the door and listen to what you guys do and listen to your, you know, I guess listen to your brand, your offering, your product offer, listen to your pitch. That's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're more apt to listen to your pitch because you branded yourself as a studio?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I think that for a lot of people in the sign industry, they don't hear the word studio and go, oh, we need them. Yeah. They just see it as word because it's not a commonly used word in the sign industry. But in the design industry, it's a heavily commonly used word.
Yeah.
So for interior designers and architects, when they see Studio Zoe, they're like, they might be a design studio, which, and of course we have the knowledge to back it up.
Yep.
So when they talk to us and we can talk to them about the importance of their brand and we can talk to them about cohesiveness in their space and we understand what they want and the importance of what they want versus just here's the cheapest product, here's the fastest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now that said, we know what they want. A big issue in the architecture to signage industry is sometimes architects will design something that it's floating and illuminated with no wires, magical. And we understand that that's not how signs work. We electricity is not magical. So, I mean, it is, but you know, it's not. So we know how to take that vision, stay true to that vision, but make it so that it can be fabricated.
Yeah.
So we understand the two very well.
So
I think our name really communicates that. Though yeah. No one knows what a Zoe is. That is the thing we get a lot of.
Yeah, but you know what? Then
Studio DZO.
It's an icebreaker.
It is. It is an icebreaker. We also have it on our website. It's our about us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good icebreaker.
Tells a good story too.
It does. So I'll talk about our brand for a few minutes and a few of the companies that I've had. So,
yeah.
Signtech International. Well, I'm going to start off, believe it or not, from the janitorial days. I know I talked about that at last episode too, but I've really learned a lot about, you know, small business and organization and all that, and yeah. employees and all that stuff back then when I started that. And I was in my 20s, but when I first, bought the business, actually, it was a buddy of mine that had this little cleaning business. He was cleaning three little doctor's offices and it was Newport Mesa Cleaning Company. And we had three little doctor's offices that we cleaned. Your mom and I would go out at night. We were going to college during the day, had you and your sisters and trying to figure out how to keep food on the table. And then when we actually got the opportunity to bid another project and then we kind of the lights went on and then, oh, wow, this could really turn into a business. And then we grew it. But we went from Newport Mesa Cleaning Company. And so we were out in Southern California at that time. It was after I got out of the Marine Corps. And we were right on the edge of Costa Mesa and Newport Beach. And so the guy that had the business named it Newport Mesa Cleaning Company. So it sounded very small, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was a small little...
Only in Newport Mesa.
Mm-hmm. And so after we picked up a couple of our own accounts and started hiring a few employees, we decided to rename it so that it sounded bigger. And we ended up with Coastal Building Services and designed this really cute little logo. We had a designer help us do it. But the difference between Newport Mesa Cleaning Company and Coastal Building Services, like think about those two as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with Newport Mesa Cleaning Company, and no. It was smaller, but Coastal Building Services kind of painted a picture.
Absolutely. And in my mind, if you say Newport Mesa Cleaning Company, I think of house cleaning. If you say Coastal Building Services, I think of corporate cleaners.
Yeah, commercial cleaners. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. So as soon as we rebranded, and then we made up some brochures and business cards and all the stuff. I mean, back then you would do a lot of door knocking. You know, we didn't really have a website or anything. That wasn't a thing back then.
No.
I mean, electricity was barely invented.
Yeah,
so,
for real.
It was way back in the day. But man alive, the business exploded. We went from, you know, just a few folks working part-time to when we sold the business, we had 100 people working.
Mm-hmm.
And all up and down, you know, Southern California. We went as far down as North San Diego County, all the way up to LA County. And we were cleaning big commercial buildings. And the business is actually still going today. But that was the difference when people's mind, they thought of us as a bigger company. And then, mm-hmm. So when Signtech International came around, when I broke off and from where I was and started the sign business with my business partner, you know, we wanted really to go after only national accounts. And mm-hmm. So we didn't, there's nothing wrong with, you know, Acme Sign Company, right? There's nothing wrong with the name, you know, Joe's Vehicle Wraps. It just depends on, I guess, what you want your brand to communicate. Like for us, Signtech International, it made it sound like we were a huge company.
Mm-hmm. Capable of doing international business.
Right.
And whereas Studio Zoe makes us sound as we are. We're smaller. We're very niche. We're white glove.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and there's not, so, you know, I think for us, you know, it, the name gave the perception that we were this massive company, yeah, even though there was only two of us when we started. I mean, which was really funny because when the phone rang, they'd be like, oh, we need to speak to somebody in sales. I'd be, sure, hold please. And I'd hold the phone down against my chest and pass it over to my business partner.
As you're sitting in the office in our house.
Yeah, it was just a tiny room that was, you know, 10 by 8 by 10 or something. Yeah, it was tiny.
Study.
But, you know, I say that, and again, you know, it depends on what you want, right? If you're downtown, I don't know, trying to think of a little town in Texas, right? New Braunfels or whatever, or Georgetown, sure, whatever. Hey, Georgetown Signs, and you're really focused on your own community. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but also know, like, if you're naming yourself something like New Braunfels Banners, well, you're limiting yourself.
You are.
To banners. And that, yeah, doesn't matter if that's what you want to do.
Yeah,
right?
If you want to make banners all day.
And people, I personally know someone that does and has made a great living from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might open you up to some vinyl work too, but you're really committing to your niche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you're thinking about branding and, you know, you really try to think through, again, it goes back to that, you know, you have, first of all, what we talked about in the last episode was, why do you want to start a sign shop? What are your personal reasons? What's driving you? But now when you're thinking about brand, you're thinking about who, right? Mm-hmm. Who you are and who you serve. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important that you, and if, look, if you're not a graphic designer or you're not a person that does branding, you know, I would recommend spending a few bucks and finding the right person, because this is, it helps a lot. It helps with your position. It helps a lot with your messaging to really do it right out the chute. Yeah. Not that companies don't rebrand and stuff as they move along. They do.
They do. But I know I'm biased. So, but I'm going to get a little bit of advice here.
Okay.
Because we see it a lot and we do a lot of rebrands. So we see this a lot. You don't have to spend a lot of money at the beginning to do a brand package. There are plenty of design studios that will do tailored sort of packages for you to give you kind of a starting kit of parts to use and not have to do, you don't have to get the same level of kit as someone like Dell Computers, right? Those are very different things. So understand that you can get a smaller package. I would highly recommend going to a design studio or a designer that you know or have heard of or you're recommended to that can create that kit of parts for you, as opposed to going to a place like Fiverr. And I know that that's very tempting for a lot of people, but I really strongly recommend not doing it, because all you're going to get from Fiverr is, first of all, you're going to have to dictate what you want for the most part. You're not going to get someone that's going to give you a kit of parts. You're going to get someone that's going to give you a logo. Yeah. And a logo and a brand are very different things.
There.
So, and we'll go more into that in the interview with Russell next week. But just understand that you might have to spend a little bit more money up front using a designer. But again, different levels of designers, different levels of packages. You can find one that fits your budget versus going to Fiverr and having to redo it and having to redo all of your stuff in 2 years.
And I think the most important thing when it talks about giving direction. So if you are going to go talk to a designer about helping you to develop a brand, don't worry about thinking about your favorite colors and your favorite, you know, shapes, or don't worry about any of that. What you really, even in a name, sort of, if you have a name that you're thinking of and it really kind of aligns with what you want to tell your community, that's fine. But even that isn't as important as understanding, again, you know, who you want to serve and how you want them to perceive your company.
Yeah.
And I think if you have some of that written out, your whys and your whos, you know, I think if you have some of those really thought out and written out, and then you go and talk to somebody that knows how to think through design and think through branding, you're going to be happy with what happens. And it's going to be effective with your marketing collateral, right? So whether it's your website or business cards or old school brochures or whatever are you, you know, vehicle graphics or whatever it is that you're going to do to get started. So,
yeah. And again, working with a designer, though, this is straying a little bit from the name, but working with a designer, once you kind of get that name figured out, they can help you. I mean, there are some design studios that will also help you with naming.
Yeah.
But once you have that name figured out, they can help you understand and create something that's scalable. So it is usable for all your assets, whether those are printed or digital, vehicle wraps or websites. I mean, it's going to help you, or even signs on your building. They're going to be able to create something that they know is scalable for all uses.
Right. And I think, you know, I think too, just be careful as you're coming up with a name. I mean, obviously signs very broad. So if the word signs or graphics are in your name, that's absolutely fine if that's what you choose. But just be careful not to just name an individual product, because so then it's going to definitely limit you.
Talk about being careful with a name. So let me tell you a little tale. I'll just start. I'm going to say this in general. Before you fall in love with a name, make sure that name is available. The most important place to make sure it's available, it's not just your Secretary of State website. If you work with an attorney, they can help you do that. But more importantly, please make sure it's not trademarked.
Yeah.
Joe, what happens if you have a name and someone has a trademark on a portion of that name?
Yeah. So this is one of those lessons where if you do decide to get into your own business and brand yourself, if you ever meet me at a trade show, you can buy me a cup of coffee or Liz a cup of coffee. But here's the thing. And it was kind of a rookie mistake, to be honest, but this was when I started it was a second sign shop after I sold my first sign shop, Signtech International. So I started a shop. I won't say the name because I think technically I could probably be sued again for it.
Yeah, please don't.
But the name was catchy and it had a word in it. So it was blank, blank identity group. And so
the second word.
One of the words was trademarked. Now,
was it though?
No, it wasn't really. So here's the thing.
This is not a great example because most people aren't this vindictive.
Yeah, it was a pretty weird situation where somebody.
It is an example of what can happen.
Yeah, and it was somebody that knew who I was, and I guess they felt threatened by our business in their community because we were growing at a pretty rapid pace. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was they had a word that was letter period letter period letter period
anagram?
That was trademarked.
Anagram. No. What's that called? Anagram?
No. That's like a personality thing. What are your anagram or whatever?
That's anagram.
Enneagram.
That's right? A personality thing.
No.
Oh.
Acronym. Dear Lord.
Look.
Okay.
So by the time people are watching this, I will officially be 40. So I now can forget things.
Anyway.
Okay.
So there is... Have I told you, by the way, because, you know, now that I work at a very large software company and I go to a lot of meetings and there are so many acronyms in this business. Like I actually have to keep my computer open and Google acronyms almost every meeting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, that's really big in corporate environments.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
So anyway, there's so many. I'm just going to start writing them down.
So this person had the acronym.
Yeah. This person had the acronym.
Trademarked. Which is kind of wild. That doesn't happen often.
No. And so they managed to get it trademarked. I had the word in my name, the real word. And so
it's a very common word.
Very common word. Yeah. And there's lots of sign shops that use this word, but they sued me specifically for using that word. And just so you know, if you have, let's say you come up with, you know, boobily bop signs. I couldn't think of another word.
Okay.
But it was unique.
Cool.
But then someone else has boobily bop.
Why? Cool.
All right, let's think of another one.
No, I like that one. Boobily bop is great.
All right, bingo. Let's say you come up with bingo signs and graphics, but somebody else has the trademark on the word bingo.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, even though that's sort of a common word, if they have, you know, let's say they have, you know, bingo design or whatever, they might have something else. They could technically sue you for using the word bingo. Now, would they win? Probably not, because there's probably 1,000 different bingo companies out there that use the word bingo. I'm just using that word, for example. But here's the problem. If they have the money and they want to cause you a lot of grief, they can sue you in federal court and go talk to a trademark attorney. They, first of all, just to, you have to answer it, because if you don't answer it, you're automatically guilty for trademark infringement, and they can sue you for all kinds of damages that they can make up. So you have to respond to it. It costs, ready? So this is why it's really important. This is why you're going to owe me a cup of coffee and Liz a cup of coffee. $40,000 just to answer the lawsuit. And understand, at the end of answering the lawsuit, I still had to change the name of the company. Mm-hmm. I would have won, absolutely hands down. I would have won in federal court.
And he knew that. He told you that.
Yeah, he knew that. Everyone knew that. Yep. But to actually go to trial to defend a trademark,
yeah,
the retainer is $100,000.
So,
and you don't get your legal fees back, even if you win.
So here's the thing. He wouldn't have won the case. He had the acronym trademarked. But what he did do, and what he knew he was doing, and what he admitted to doing, was trying to bury our company.
Yeah.
And, or the company. And he would have. I mean, the company was still relatively new.
Yeah.
And going through a case like that, spending $100,000 on attorney fees at minimum, if we went to court, and even winning, well, you have to decide, like, you had to decide, is this worth me keeping this name?
No.
And it wasn't. It cost less at that point. Even if you won, it cost less to just change the name.
And understand, $40,000 was, that was just the legal fees.
That was just to answer the lawsuit, though. That wasn't going to court.
That wasn't going to court. No. That was just the legal fees to answer the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And in that, believe it or not, in that we actually had to pay, part of the settlement was we had to pay part of their legal fees, mm-hmm. Or they would have continued the case. It was crazy.
Oh, we had to it was $40,000 to answer it. We had to pay the company I was the accountant, so this is why I know this. $40,000 for just to answer the letter, basically. Yeah. $10,000 to them for damages. And then we had to rebrand everything. And we had to surrender the name, surrender the URL, surrender everything. You think about credit cards, you think, and that this is stuff people don't, the things that people don't see.
Had to redo our bank accounts.
It was, which websites. Means you have to redo your books. You have to redo.
LLC.
Everything. Everything has to be, it's like starting a new company.
Yeah.
Except that then you have to port over your old company information. So
it was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. This, the way that it happened, it doesn't happen often. The person that did this was very vindictive and specifically even admitted to doing it because we won a project over this person, or you guys did. Again, I was the accountant, so that's why I say we. But when it comes down to it, he had the trademark.
Yeah.
And he had a lawyer that was willing to be a butthole with him.
Yeah.
I said, butthole, aren't you proud of me?
I'm very proud of
you. It took me a second.
So, you know, and there was ways I probably could have, if I had started doing business before he had the trademark under my name,
sure.
He couldn't have filed it.
No.
So it's important. Look, when you talk to this is another reason why we talked about in our last episode is—
What do we have to do?
To talk to an attorney.
That's the first thing you do.
Yeah.
So and what do you do first?
And talk to an attorney. Dead horse. But when you talk to an attorney, ask them if they'll do a quick trademark search for you too. You can do it yourself at uspto.gov. Again, uspto.gov. You can do your own.
United States Patent and Trademark Organization.
Yes.
Gov.
Yeah. So you can do your own search.
Yeah.
But there's different, you know, there's all kinds of trademarks. There's name marks. I mean, there's all kinds of different types of trademarks. So it's just kind of, it's a no-brainer for a lawyer to just to get on there and do a quick search for you as you're setting up your entity, because you might need to pick a different name. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of goes back to, what do you put, is the cart before the horse? Should you meet with a branding person to help develop a name, or should you talk to your lawyer first?
Oh.
So maybe, you know, because we just—
I believe you talk to a lawyer first.
Yeah, maybe. So I guess if you're starting to talk to a branding person, you have a couple of names in mind. And the other thing is you don't necessarily have to name your LLC by the brand either. So, like, for example, Signtech International was AMAC Enterprises, R&L and McDonald, AMAC Enterprises. And then we just pulled a DBA Scientech International. So you guys could do that too.
It all depends on how you set up your company.
Yeah.
And there are so many ways, like we talked about in the last episode.
You can name,
but I think that it's important mainly just to understand a couple things from this story. One is talk to an attorney.
Yeah.
Two is
do the trademark research.
And okay, so there are a few things. Three is this is such a weird story.
It is
and
a weird
it
story.
Doesn't happen often.
Don't let it freak you out.
The way that it happened to us isn't the norm, but it can happen. It can happen in different ways if you don't do your research.
Yeah.
So for us, the research was done. We didn't think that someone who held a trademark for an acronym could sue us for using the word that the acronym spelled.
Right.
So, which is, and they can't. The thing is, they would have lost.
They would have.
But they held a trademark, so they could bring the court, the case to court.
Yeah.
But do the research so that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah.
Super important.
And I guess we say all that to say, look, don't let this kind of thing discourage you. Just be cautious, know, do the right things. Don't cut corners and, get excited about your brand. And so whatever it is, be creative and work with somebody, what is the message that you want to communicate to your community, your customers, which is your audience, and
or
partners, however you refer to your customers. But anyway, but have fun with it. And you got this. I mean, if you're just hell bent on going to start your own business, these are just from last episode to this episode, these are just some steps that you need to take to do it right. And so we just want to encourage you to stay excited, keep your head in the game, talk to the right people. I think we talked about this in the last episode too. If you can go to SBA.gov, smallbusinessadministration.gov, and see if you can get involved with, they have mentoring programs. All of this kind of stuff you can talk through with folks.
Yeah.
They have marketing people, branding people, accounting people, and
they also have,
and they'll help
you. Referrals for attorneys that might do this with small businesses,
yes,
which is
that's
a great
true.
Thing because you're not going to want to necessarily go to a very large law firm. I think for me, the bottom line is, really take a minute. Again, you don't have to do this after you've quit your job. Do it while on your downtime, like after hours, you can start thinking about these things and setting them all up. But think about what you want your business to be and do. Where do you want your business to grow? What do you see for 5 years, 10 years down the road for your business before you name your company something that will lock you into something smaller?
Yeah.
Right. And you can always rename it. You can always rebrand. Obviously, it's been done either by choice or not. but if you have it from the beginning and you set yourself up for a scalable future with your business, then you're just in a better position overall. It also kind of helps to provide guidance, right? If you start sitting down and thinking, okay, well, I want to start out doing installs only. Well, if I call myself Elizabeth Installs, what happens when I want to start
fabricating
or even brokering fabrication? So I don't want to buy the equipment yet, but I want to start selling my own banners. Well, cool. I'm only going to get calls for installs because my company is called Elizabeth Installs. So just think about, that future of where you want your business to go or what you want it to communicate, like we talked about. For us, it was being a design studio that spoke both languages. For Scientech International, it was an international large corporation, even though it was two guys in a study downstairs with teenagers upstairs yelling at them.
That is true.
I mean, you can make yourself look however you want to look.
Plus the branding part is fun. I mean, it's the fun part, I think. It just, you do it, you have to do some technical things you need to do, legal things you need to do, but the branding part is really fun. So think big when it comes to branding. We believe in you guys very much.
We do. Thank you so much for listening. Again, the second part of this episode, we're going to be talking to Russell Toynes. He's the other owner and my husband of Studio Zoe, and his specialty or really area of expertise, his SME, if you will, because it's an acronym in corporate America.
So
he's a subject matter expert, and those are called SMEs.
Are we SMEs?
We're
kind of.
Are we?
Yeah.
To someone.
Smee-ish.
We're Smee-ish.
We're Smee-ish.
Smee-ish. All right. Anyway, he is a Smee, or he is a subject matter expert on branding and even going branding in every sense of the word. Yeah. Graphic design. So, but starting from the beginning, what's in a name, right? How do you go from there and then brand that scale in a scalable way?
Yeah.
So that conversation is going to be really great. And kind of why we kept the conversation a little light today, because I know that's going to be a heavier episode.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you then. Otherwise, thank you so much for watching.
Yeah, really great being here with you guys today. Make great signs.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.